Eat my pagan ass, bitches.
Eat it!
Now!
I just gotta stick this rod in the hole over here.
Ouch!
Dover.
We're just having fun, people.
Eat it!
Now! Now! Now!
Hey, everybody! It's Luckylicious!
And Carmen Kickass!
This is episode number 8 of Eat My Pagan Ass! We're in a celebratory mood today, hookers, because it's summer!
Yeah!
Woo! Hail to the summer! Hail to the summer!
Hail, hail! Summer is here!
Oh, and I'm all done up today, so everybody has to call me Prince Luckylicious.
Oh, you should see him.
That's
right.
Oh, my God. I got my pagan bling. Oh, I got my rings. I got my jewelries. I got my necklaces.
He's got on his little tiara.
I got my tiara on. I got my bracelets. My little fairy ring. This is... I'm pimped out, hookers! Very excited. Very excited to be here. Well, we have to say that first we're sorry. We're sorry that we've taken so long to do another podcast and leaving all of our pimps and people out in the cold. But, you know.
In the heat.
In the heat.
It's been hot.
You're hot, Carmen. Carmen and I were whisked away by the fairies. They just loved that last episode of ours, our midsummer episode, so much. That they decided to take us off to fairyland for a few... We thought it was only a day, but it turned out to be a month.
That's right.
Woo! Hail!
When we got back, it was like, oh, a month has passed.
A month has passed. We only knew a month had passed because Carmen got her dot, if you know what I'm saying. We were dancing in the fairy ring, and all of a sudden, there's like a pool of blood on the floor, and I'm like, wah, wah, what the fuck is that?
Another dead Mexican. No, let me stop.
No, so we had to leave the fairy mound and go back to the world of mundanity so that Carmen could stick a tampon up her twat and soak up all that blood. So anyway, here we are again. Lots going on in the world, but first,
going on in the world?
Well, I said a lot.
Mercury.
Going on in the world. Oh, well, yeah, in the cosmos. Well, that's the other reason why we're late, people. See, pagans always have an excuse for everything. We're late because Mercury is retrograde, and you know, Carmen is a little bit of an astrology buff. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the planet Mercury, and what does Mercury retrograde mean?
Okay, first I'll start off with, as you know, Mercury is a planet of
communication amongst
other things.
Mm-hmm.
And when it goes retrograde, it means that from the vantage point of the Earth, it looks like Mercury is traveling backwards.
But so it's not really, right?
It's not, no. It always goes forward, but from where we are, it looks like it's going backwards.
How does that happen?
It has to do with the speed of the Earth and the speed of that Mercury travels. Have you ever been on the train and you pass a train and the train looks like it's going backwards? You ever experienced that?
Yeah.
The subway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same thing with the
planets.
All the planets go retrograde.
All of them?
All of them.
Except for Earth.
Well, to Mercury, Earth is going backwards.
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. And, so it all the things that Mercury represents metaphorically are going backwards, such as communication, travel, signing of contracts, anything that has
podcasts
definitely. And if, you know, that's communication. This is not a good time to buy a new TV, for example, or a new computer because it's not.
Well, I hear that a lot, you know, from astrologers when they get into, well, you know, when Mercury's going retrograde, you should never sign a contract because the chances are that the contract could fall through or something.
Well,
or
it could be on your behalf. It could be on your benefit. Those are just blanket statements. Those are just guidelines. But when you become a little bit more savvy, let's say, regarding astrology, you'll say differently.
Yeah.
Although I did once, I bought my first computer. Mm-hmm. Not only was Mercury retrograde, but the moon was void. Oh. Who the fuck is going to buy a computer? Me.
Carmen.
I got it. It arrived. That day, it got a virus.
Oh, wow. Like, debilitating? Just...
It was a fucked up computer, and then the printer didn't work, and it was the worst.
But you know what, though? Like, a lot of... In business, for instance, which Mercury also governs commerce, doesn't it, in a way?
Yeah, yeah.
And
it
always...
is the god of commerce, yeah.
Yeah, so we can't stop what
no,
we're
you
doing.
Can't stop. The world has to continue. You know, you just don't stop living because Mercury is retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work with it and do the best that you can.
So I should have signed all those website redesign projects before Mercury went retrograde on July 4th.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, you know, the thing is you got to do what you got to do. And then Mercury retrograde on July 4th. But a few days before that, that's when Mercury starts to get a little wobbly. And that's what's called the shadow. So that's a period where people have to be careful. So what happens is, when it's in its shadow, then it goes retrograde, then it goes direct, then it goes back into its shadow. So that's when you get a second chance to fix what you fucked up the first time. Got it?
Got it.
You know, so astrology always affords you a second chance. And that's why a lot of astrologers keep copious notes on where planets were at certain times so that they can go back and fix what was messed up the first time.
All right.
Hope that makes sense.
So
now Mercury is retrograde in Leo.
Leo, the sign of the lion! I'm a Leo, in case you didn't know.
Meow.
So what does that mean?
So
I guess you
got to
talk about what does Leo mean?
Leo
means fabulous and gorgeous and talented.
See how sometimes astrology doesn't work?
Clave. Oh, snap.
It's not always true, folks.
What are you saying? You saying I ain't all those things? But look at me. I'm all glammed out.
I know. Look at you. You look like a pagan pimp. Too funny. Look at those chains. Kill me.
So Mercury is in the sign of Leo and it's moving backwards.
So. Right. So if you have wherever Leo is in your chart, that's what's being affected for you personally in your life.
Okay,
so if you have Leo in the second house.
Let's talk about me.
See? True Leo.
Leo in the 10th house with my midheaven and my sun.
All right, so then it would be affecting your career or how you're seen in the public eye.
Mm.
Any 10th house issues, that's what's being affected in your chart. Then you have to look to see where the ruler of the 10th house is.
Which is
still on the 10th house?
Yeah.
So you have Leo in the 10th and the sun in the 10th? Is that what you have?
Does the sun rule the 10th house? I don't know.
The sun rules Leo.
That's the 5th house.
So then it would be affecting your 5th house stuff. Fun, romance, that kind of stuff.
What's after Sagittarius?
Huh?
What's after Sag?
Sag is 9, Capricorn.
Career, right?
Ooh. Yeah, so it's affecting your career. This is a time that you have to go back. See, the good thing about Mercury retrograde, too many people talk about, Mercury is retrograde, and they blame all their woes on that. But what Mercury is good for is to go back and rewrite, reevaluate, redo, reconsider, reword. whatever it is that you messed up in the past, now's the time to fix it. Retrograde periods are best used for redoing things, reevaluating.
Yeah. One of the things, I'm a writer, and communications is what I do. Mm-hmm. And one of the coolest tips that I saw was, now's when Mercury's in retrograde, that's the time when you should go back over the things you've already written and make your edits and rethink the ideas.
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
My dog is eating his tail. Get it!
He's rewinding.
Get it, Seamus.
So you get the idea now. Many people know about, oh, retrograde is this, it sucks, blah, blah, blame all their woes on. But that's not, this is the universe's time to tell you, go back and fix this. This is when you should be locked up in your room or your office or whatever, redoing whatever it is that needs work on.
I need to work on masturbation. Is that a good time to do that?
Well, if it was in Scorpio, maybe so.
You know what's interesting, though?
You're laughing, but it's true. Every retrograde period has its time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, actors are associated with Leo a lot. And it's funny because I used to be at an acting school, and then I lost touch with those people. And then on the train, while in transit, one of the actresses from the class sits down next to me, and we just start chatting. I haven't seen her in a long time.
No. So you met this girl on a train that you hadn't seen?
Yeah, and in a long time, several years, and we just caught up on things and how things are going, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, retrograde periods are good for that.
Yeah.
On a similar thing, so is a void of course. Void of course is the universe's way of telling you to chill out. When the moon is void, that means it's not making any aspects to other planets. It's a good time to go to a movie. It's a good time to clean your apartment. Just veg out. That's what void of course is.
All right. So I will say that the past week or so at work has been not so good. Like, my brain has been really clouded. I haven't been able to make decisions very well. And also I haven't been able to write very well. And also I've been sick. Very sick. So
see, but that's another thing. Leo is your sun sign, and your sun sign is you. It affects your health. It affects your being.
Yeah.
So when your sun sign is afflicted, that's what they call it, an affliction.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to feel your best.
You
know? I am not one to blame all my problems on astrology, because I feel that my life is of my own doing.
Right.
But there are times when astrology definitely has an impact on you.
Can we talk about that for a second, about people who place all the blame outside of themselves? And for pagans, that's an especially bad no-no, because our number one rule is that we are masters of our own fate, and that, you know, we are supposed to be the wise ones, and we make our own.
We're supposed to be. The pagans that I know are barely the wise ones.
But there's so many people out there who do attribute every, and this isn't just pagans, but I think especially
people in general don't like to take responsibility
the blame,
for their own actions. You know, Mercury made me do it.
Right.
You know, the devil made me. But you did it. You know. That's why it's important to know where the planets are and how they're affecting you, so that you could work with them. If I know Mercury is retrograde, and I've been working on my book that I put away 6 months ago, this is a time to work on my book. This is not a time for me to focus on my career. So you make it work for you. You got to go with the tide, you know?
That's true.
I have a friend who's been very depressed lately, and I suggested, why don't you go see an astrologer who could help you with this depression, because that's what astrology's for.
Hmm.
You know,
how so?
to help you realize what your cycles are, what you're going through. Sometimes you go through Pluto transits, which are very, I mean, when I went through, I had a moon Pluto transit, and my mother died, you know, and not that I didn't feel bad when she died. It helped me understand better and cope with it. And I read this really fabulous book by Donna Cunningham, who's a fabulous astrologer, fabulous tarot. She's great. She used to live here in New York, and we were very good friends. But then she moved to Seattle. And since then, she's written a whole bunch of books. So I couldn't talk to her, so I read her book on Pluto. And it helped me cope with my problems, you know.
Well, the moon is also this planet of motherhood. So to get that moon Pluto transit right when your mom died.
It was rough.
Pluto being about the underworld and all that seedy, not seedy, but all the
death
repressed.
And, yeah, death so a lot of things happen. Moon is your emotions and your mother. Moon Pluto, it wasn't a happy time,
right.
You know, and I would go see her, and I read the book, and I mean, you can't replace, it's not like a book can replace human contact, or I just didn't know what to do, but understanding what this moon Pluto thing was about, I was able to cope with it better. I had a more intellectual idea of what was happening to me, you know, and that's, I've got a little off the track, but that's why astrology can help you. When you're going through a fucked up time that you don't know what the heck is going on, that's what astrology's there for. Not, does he love me? Is he going to leave his wife? That's not what it's for. I mean, it is, but not for me, you know.
And I would say, just as a caveat, that astrology isn't the only thing that you need to get through those difficult times.
No,
friends,
no.
Family,
you need friends. You need friends, not a book.
Meditation,
you need friends.
God, whatever.
Definitely.
Goddess.
Yeah.
But astrology, what I like about it is it kind of does helps you kind of frame your thoughts about things, and it puts things into perspective.
Right.
In a perspective, but it's a useful perspective.
Right. You know, and it helps you not to understand what it is that you're going through, but to understand the nature of the universe and the nature of death. What is death good for? Why is the pain that you're going through helpful to you? You don't see it now, but you see it later. And I think, for me personally, astrology and tarot and all my metaphysical studies have helped me to become who the person I am today. And if it wasn't for that, I think I'd be a mess. I think I'd be like some fucked up, junky, alcoholic, crazy woman. But this has given me a path to follow, you know. And it helps me understand other people and get along better. And it's really cool, you know.
Well, I have never really found people who are cooler than pagans. I mean, they're just, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There are a lot of cool people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong.
I know.
But I mean, like, on a whole, for me personally, maybe that's all I can say. I feel most comfortable when I'm in a group of pagans and we're just doing things with people who believe in magic and believe in choice and believe in the unknown and the mystery of life and celebrating that and making a place for all of the really just important things about the human experience.
I agree with that, and the reason is because you like to be with people that think the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to work in a bank. This was the worst place that I could have ever worked for, and I thought there was something wrong with me because here I am, me, Carmen, right, with all these people who thought nothing the way I do.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, is there something wrong with me? And then I left that job, and then I started meeting other people. I'm like, oh my God, the world isn't like this. There are other types of people. I didn't have a clue. I got out of school, and that was my first job. And that was my first contact with other people. And then when I started meeting pagans and open-minded people, I'm like, oh my God, there are people out there like me, you know? So I like hanging out with pagans. I mean, it's just they're just cool. They're just they don't have any opinions. I mean, they have opinions. No, that's not what
we
I meant.
We have no mind of our own.
No, judgment is what I meant to say. They're not judgmental. They don't...
We are speaking very broadly. I mean, there are judgmental pagans out there.
But as a whole, yeah.
But as a whole, it's true. Pagans tend to be just a little bit more...
Relaxed.
And
that's why there are so many poor pagans. They don't care about getting ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I think the only time you really see a pagan's ego is when I'm the best high priestess, or that's when it comes out. Uh-huh. But it doesn't come out in the workplace. Or,
I'm the best podcaster.
Yes.
Actually not. Let me take a moment to plug another podcast out there by Dios Shadow. And the guy I only listen to a few of his podcasts because I just don't have time. But when I do listen, I'm very impressed. He puts he and his group of people put a lot of effort into that podcast.
Dios Shadow?
Yeah. Because they do like skits, and he's also a music composer, and he writes original pagan music that tends to be humorous. Mm. So check it all out, people.
I'll check it out.
Don't stop listening to us, though.
No. Keep listening to us. So let's read some
listener email comments. We did get a lot of comments from people again, and we're really enjoying this. I think I'm very excited, as I know Carmen is. Carmen, by the way, I just have to say how cute you look today.
I do.
You look like Marianne from Gilligan's Island. She has this, like, you know, it's summer and it's hot, and she's got this cyan You made that?
I made it.
Oh, and these cute little daisies.
I can't believe you like
little
it.
Little white
Thank
daisies
you.
All over. Yeah, it's so cute.
Yeah,
Cute. Thank you.
We're going to be on Project Runway.
I made this.
You
should be on Project Runway. But no, I'm very excited that people on the Live Journal are now chatting with each other.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so it's livejournal.com.
Eat my pagan ass. .livejournal.com. You create a free account, and then you can join, become a friend. We'll friend you, and then you can chat with everyone and post comments about the podcast and make suggestions and ask questions.
Right, because this
and hook up with each other.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And if you're not sure how to do it, you could email us, and we'll send you a link.
Yeah,
and then you can
you can email us at eatmypaganass@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's the last time we'll say that today. We say that a lot.
Enough plugging.
And I didn't get a phone number for us yet because it's all complicated. And they didn't have a phone number in the area code that I wanted. So, and it's
eventually
not toll free for people. So I'd like a toll free number that people can call.
Yeah, eventually we will. And then this way we could tell you when we're going to do it. And then people call us and that'd be fun. Fluffy can call us.
Fluffy did send us an audio thing, which we'll have to play. What, we want to play that right now?
Yeah.
A little shout out from Fluffy. Hold on there.
Fluffy.
Fluffy here. Just want to return the shout out love you gave me from episode 7. And I just want to tell you to keep up the good work, you badass mother pagans.
Badass mother pagans.
Thanks, Fluffy. We appreciate the comment and feedback. I love being called a badass mom. Isn't that cool? He reminds me of, you remember your new Joe Ravencrow? You ever meet him?
Yeah.
He talks like that. He's so cool. He's like, hey, free love, you badass mother pigs. So cool. Anyway, thanks, Fluffy. And Fluffy is an active commenter on our Live Journal, and he's chit-chatting with other people and getting lots of, I think Fluffy, he's young.
He sounds cute.
Yeah, I won't say anything about that, but he sounds very together. You know what I'm saying? Spiritually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds like he has a good perspective.
Well, that's because he listens to us.
That's right. Well,
gotta be.
We listen to him, too. Send us more.
Send us more stuff. That's fun. I love it. Yeah. He sent us an email where he said that, I'll quote it. I totally forgot to tell y'all about the crazy thing that happened to me. I was hanging out at work on June 3rd.
Work?
Yeah, he works. Oh. He even has a job. Look at that. I support the developmentally disabled individuals in my community.
Oh.
And he's a nice guy,
he's
too.
He's a healer.
Mm-hmm. And I was randomly shuffling cards. The sound of cards being shuffled calms me. and three popped out, facing down. They were all six of clubs, the six of hearts, six of diamonds. I laughed so hard. You know what that means? You're evil!
Evil!
Evil! See, that's another thing about tarot. Something like this happens, you use it. Because generally sixes are good, but in this case it's evil!
Evil.
666.
Synchronicity is pretty fun when it happens. Mm-hmm. You know. Anyway, what else? Oh, we have a shout out from a new subscriber called Dee Dee. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hey, Dee Dee.
Says, I just wanted to stop by and let you know that I love your podcast. I'm a Scorpio with my moon in Leo. I like people with moons in Leo, but I guess that makes sense because I'm a Leo, so they tend to like me. Right? Because aren't where your moon
yes,
is?
Yes.
That's where you like. Anyway.
Yes.
I grew up
in I like people that have Venus on my sun sign because that means they're attracted to you or you're attracted to them.
Venus and Pisces. Well, I do like get along with Cancers very well, and that's where my Venus is. Anyway,
One day we'll do a podcast on Venus and the signs. We'll do that.
Ooh.
I'll put it together.
You know why I like Venus?
Because it rhymes with penis.
How
I know.
Did you know?
Is that it?
No. Dee Dee says, I grew up in a house where you didn't say, I met the cutest boy today. You said, I met the cutest boy and he's a Leo. See, she said Leo. Mm. So, because we're all cute. Mm. So listening to you guys just feels like home. Every time someone meets my family, they always ask me if my mom is a witch. She is so cool. She's an Aries and so is my dad. She's a Scorpio. Wow, that's some kind of... family. So anyway, I just wanted to say hi. Take care, Dee Dee. And she says she just feels like she filled out a personal ad. I also like long walks on the beach and vodka tonics.
Oh, yeah.
I like those too.
Talk about vodka tonics. I like vodka and soda.
Yeah.
Vodka and soda.
Vodka. Vodka. The cow. Who else you got over there?
All right, what do I have? Okay, I have Kate.
Kate again.
Kate's another, she writes us a lot too.
We love you.
Yes. It's so cool that people write us. Okay, I don't know both your names, just Lucky's. I'm Carmen. I love how I was
no,
at the top.
No, she means your secret name, your real name. You're not your mundane name.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't know that.
I love how I was at the top of the 666 episode.
666! Blah! The devil!
I am the god of hellfire!
Brimstone! All right.
It made me feel evil, laughing out loud.
Evil.
I'll leave a message next time I get a chance to. Probably the coming week. Ha ha, I said coming. C-U-M-I-N-G. Yes, I'm down south. At least from your area. I live in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
They got them Amish people out there.
Please don't eat me, Carmen. Mm. I promise I'm not Mexican.
Mm.
I'm 50% Italian, so I guess... I taste like pizza and beer.
And she has
because I'm 50% Irish.
Oh,
wow, that's a heavy combination.
Irish and Italian. My cousins are Irish and Italian. They're awesome.
Yeah.
They're
were a lot
musicians.
Of Irish and Italian where I grew up.
Yeah.
On a serious note, Carmen, may I please have a tarot reading?
Ooh.
I don't care if you read it on the show. I just really want one.
Ooh.
I love you guys. Kiss, kiss. Okay, Kate. If you email us or you email me. I'll do a reading for you, but you got to have a question. Okay, so send me a question, and I know who you are, Kate, by your email. I don't want everybody saying, I'm Kate, I want a reading. Can't fool me. And I'll be happy to do a reading for you. All right, I'll be happy to do a reading for anybody that requests one, but I just like to have a question. Okay?
We got an anonymous person. I think that they all came from... Oh, wait, yeah, this guy named Thunderwing. He doesn't say where he's from, though, but he does say, I just got an iPod, iTunes, just signed up for your podcast, and it's freaking awesome! But it's been a while since your last post. Has this podcast stopped?
No, it hasn't stopped.
It's Carmen's fault.
It ain't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
He contacts me, want to meet tonight? Where you been for a month?
I'm a gay man. We like to do things spontaneously.
So it's not my fault. That's the point.
So then I said, no, no.
How did I know he was going to blame me?
No. But then he goes, I need to find a more appropriate time to listen to your podcast. People think I'm insane on the bus. They stare when I randomly burst into laughter from your comments. Keep up the awesome work.
Hey, laughing is good. If they stare at you because you're laughing, there's something wrong with them.
That's right. All right? Or maybe they're seeing something beautiful. I know that when I'm on the subway and I listen to my favorite podcasts, including
Eat My Pagan Ass.
Eat My Pagan Ass, Lucky Bitch Radio, Yeast Radio, and PNS Explosion, I start laughing hysterically.
Yeah, so what's wrong with laughing?
I like doing it. I think people are getting used to it. They're kind of realizing. But wait a minute, though. This comment goes on because then Fluffy writes back and he says, no, you keep laughing on the bus. That spot is your personal space and you should do what you want with it. A dirty or weird look from a random person should not make you stop doing anything.
That's right.
Including masturbation. Rock and laugh on.
Woo! Ain't nothing wrong with laughing.
That's right. You're just touching yourself.
Nada. No, doesn't that make you mad that you're laughing and people are like, she's crazy.
Maybe though.
What am I supposed to be doing? Sobbing? To sit there and cry? And
maybe that's just a figure of speech. You know, I doubt people are really like giving you evil looks.
People do look at you weird when you laugh because that's happened to me. I've been reading a book or I might just think of something and it'll make me laugh and I'll get like, good way to get a seat. It's true.
Yeah.
People don't like to see other people laugh. They think there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Screw them.
Ha, ha, ha! I'm going to keep laughing.
Thunderwing has another comment, actually. Maybe that wasn't Thunderwing before. I don't know. Anyway, hey, I just started listening to your podcast, and I've got to say I love it. I usually don't like to hear other people talking about religion because they always seem to get things backwards. The way you and Carmen were talking made it easy to listen and very enjoyable.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any plans for future releases? Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah,
this is it right now. Where do you think Thunderwing is from?
This is Kate again.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I got another.
She's stalking
Kate, she's cool, man.
She's stalker. She's our number one.
Kate and Fluffy. I got another one here from Kate, and she says, this is pretty much just an email for Carmen. Please don't feel left out, Lucky.
I'm going to go cry.
All right, I'll talk to Kate while you cry.
No, seriously.
Stop crying, bitch.
What's that hooker have to say? Oh, snap. That felt good.
I was doing some research on the internet to find my boyfriend's rising sign. But he didn't know what time he was born. So I went back to look at mine to see if it was Scorpio. And I was shocked to see Sagittarius. But my moon is in Scorpio. Guess I was wrong in that email. Oops. That's a run-on sentence if I ever heard one. So what does this mean for me? I'm not very skilled in astrology, but I'm trying. Oh, and since you really want tarot questions, I really want to know what lies ahead for my boyfriend Tony and I. We're talking about getting married. Thanks, I can't wait for my answers. Oh, so she did have a question.
So you can do that for her.
Okay, so I didn't bring my cards. You have cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the right away.
All right, so the thing on the astrology is...
cards? Come on! I've got cards.
You got the right of weight?
I do. I've got them all.
Yeah, that's it. And you got a lot of cards.
I do. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 decks.
Damn.
10 decks.
Anyway. All right, let me just answer the thing about the astrology thing. If you don't know what time you were born, you could do a chart based on the time of the sunrise. So your rising sign will be the time of sunset, of sunrise, I should say. So it's not going to give you your true rising sign, but it'll tell you what planets are together.
What?
If you don't know what time you were born, you do a chart based on sunrise. So let's say sunrise was 6:35 in the morning.
Oh.
So you use that time to cast your chart. And then your rising sign will be dawn or whatever.
But doesn't that fuck everything up, though? Like,
no, because your chart will have the feel of the day anyway. And then if you really want to know your rising sign, then you get it rectified. You can have But it costs a lot of money to get a chart rectified.
Or you can just contact the Office of Birth Records and get your birth certificate, which has your time of birth on it.
Right. But that's what a lot of people do. They either use noon or they use sunrise. Uh-huh. And then you're not going to get the right house signs.
Right.
But at least you'll know where your planets are.
So does she want to know what being a Sagittarius rising means or what? What was she asking?
I don't know what she said here. I was shocked to see, what does this mean for me? But my moon is in Scorpio. I was doing some research on
this. What's her sun in? We don't know, do we? Did she say what she is?
No.
She may have said that before.
Kate, send us another email with clearer.
Give us your actual birth date, birth location, birth time, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for you.
All right. But for now, we are back.
We're back here.
We're back!
Woo! It's really hot here in New York City. And
oh, it's like 100 degrees.
So we had to take a little heat break.
Yeah.
Well, that water.
Well, the air conditioning is on in the other room, but then I had to leave because my dog was all up in our faces. He was like this.
So
we're like, no.
We had to go into the other room.
Hey.
What do you got there?
Well, you know how I keep saying in one of our upcoming episodes, we'll be interviewing a woman who's in Celtic fairy faith. She's very busy right now. She's in theater and she's got a lot of great stuff going on. But in the meantime, to get ready for that interview, because I don't really know a lot about Celtic fairy faith. It never resonated with me.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
Shut up, bitch.
So I started reading this book. It's called The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries by W.Y. Evans Wentz. ISBN 0486425223. It is a wonderful, wonderful anthropological almost history on Celtic fairy faith in all the Celtic countries.
Hmm.
There's some anthropology in there, and there's mostly this guy goes around, he collects folk tales from the people and asks them about, you know, their experiences with the fairies. Have you ever seen fairies? And people are like, yeah, I've seen fairies and I saw so-and-so or whatever. This book was taken down like around the early 1900s. And almost all of the stories are like, well, I didn't see a fairy, but my mother saw, grandmother saw. And things are kind of like legend, but you get a lot of really good, you get a good grasp on who the fairies are and what they represent. And then he also breaks it down and he analyzes the different kinds of fairies and the different types of stories people tell. He really does a good job.
So this is the book you would read if you want to know about fairies.
I think
instead of 10 books, you know.
Yeah. You know, I'm always of the mind that I like to go back to the older stuff first.
Me too. Yeah.
And especially if it's like documented and there are footnotes and things like that. I don't like to read, you know, like just any old Llewellyn book. There's nothing wrong with the Llewellyn Publishing Company, but
you like to get into the meat of things.
Yeah, I like to know where things come from,
right?
You know,
right.
And so I like to get the history behind things a little bit. And anyway, I'm probably going to get flack for cracking on Llewellyn, but
no, I know what you're saying. What you're saying is Llewellyn just gives you the basics, but this tells you why, like you want to know how to tell time, but this book tells you why time is.
Right. And how to make a watch.
Exactly.
So I've been enjoying this and I'm really looking forward to that conversation with her, which she has promised to do.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do I know her?
You know her, yeah.
Okay. Oh!
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
And then also we talked about interviewing a heathen mother who is raising a baby, and she's raising the baby heathen. And we wanted to talk about pagan parenting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I got to her too late, and now she's away at the Brushwood Sirius Rising festivals and all that stuff. But maybe we'll get a chance to interview her next week or something. And then, of course, Freya Oswin, the Wicked Witch of the North.
Cool.
I'll be talking to her tomorrow, but we'll save that for a later podcast. She's got some questions to answer.
Well, she could answer the questions. Seems like everybody liked her.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails for Freya, so
yep.
We'll forward those on to her.
Very good.
So there's this other thing that's been in the news lately. Did I talk about this already? I didn't. CNN, this is an article from CNN.com. Mystic mushrooms spawn magic event. And this came out on, I don't know, July, I think it's the 15th, right? This had to happen before then, but whatever. And it's a story on a study that was done at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine on the effects of psilocybin, which is the active psychoactive compound found in magic mushrooms.
Psychedelic drugs.
Psychedelic drugs, basically. And the purpose of the study, well, I'm not really sure what the purpose was. I think it was just to get the
somebody
effects.
Wanted to get high. All right.
But the result of the study was many of the participants reported that while on the drug, the psilocybin, they experienced one of the most profound spiritual
transformative spiritual
experiences, yeah, of their lives. And friends and family. Well,
don't try this at home, folks.
That's what it says in the article.
Don't try this. We are not condoning this. I don't want nobody freaking out and blaming us.
Right, no, I'm just raising it. I think it's very interesting because in the, psychedelic drugs have been used for a very long time in spiritual traditions. Mm-hmm. The Native Americans use them. I think
definitely.
The Aborigines might use
yes,
them.
Yes,
everyone in Europe they were used. Mushrooms have always been sacred. This is kind of the first time. In the 60s, they started to see how these drugs like LSD and maybe mescaline, or I don't know what other drugs they were looking at in the 60s, but I know definitely LSD with Timothy Leary at Harvard University. They were doing studies to see in a psychotherapeutic setting what the beneficial effect of the drug could be. And they saw that treating patients like criminals with LSD reduced recidivism. Like they totally gave up crime. They, you know, it just totally turned around. Because, I know, well, you're not the only person to make fun of Tim Leary's findings. And he was actually kicked out of Harvard as a result. But
is he still alive?
He's dead. He died in the 90s.
Really?
I think in the late 90s he died. Mm. Yeah, but whatever. His spirit lives on. So the study is just very interesting. They think that this is a benchmark study on the effects, the positive effects, and they can see this is in treating people with drug addictions or depression. People with chronic pain can use these things to help deal with that. But also just the point of the article was just specifically pointing out the spiritual aspect of the experience that people had. So anyway, the conversation came up at work yesterday, and we had kind of both spectrums of the argument. One person raising the point and saying, you know, this is valid, and this is a valid path to spiritual enlightenment, and the other side saying, that's all we need are kids running out and taking drugs and trying to find enlightenment, you know, while they're running their cars into people's running over people with their cars or whatever, you know. So I just thought it would be an interesting point to raise because, you know, I've done psychedelic drugs. I know you've done psychedelic drugs in both spiritual and non-spiritual settings, or just purely recreationally, but also within the spiritual context. And just being pagan, I do respect the heritage of this, of the taking of some kind of psychoactive substance. I think the people back in the Eleusinian mystery schools of ancient Greece, before going into that experience where they'd go underground or whatever happened, they would drink something, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they drink soma or something?
And so would the priestesses and everybody. That was the gas in the car, so to speak. That's what got them going. Mm-hmm. You know, they just didn't walk in. I used to know what the substance was. I can't remember now. But yes.
Gasoline!
But yes, you're right. They all took something. Mm-hmm. They fasted. I mean, it was a whole ritualistic.
Right. Native Americans eat peyote, for instance. cactus that grows in the southwest of the United States and
right.
northern Mexico.
Mezcal.
In South America, they have a yaje drink that my sister and her husband did while they were up there. They climb up to this mountain. They have a beautiful mountain sanctuary. These, witch, I won't say witch doctors, but they're spiritual natives, essentially.
Right.
Who run this center up there, and you go up and you drink the yaje, and they make you as comfortable as possible and just coach you through the experience. And my sister has done it twice, and she always comes back with like profound knowledge of herself and her relationship with her husband and, right. and what she's here on this earth to do.
It's a sense of renewal. As I was telling you earlier, the first time I did it, it was like washing my head out of all the crap. And it was just, I felt cleansed, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea to do it if you're, like something which your sister does, where she goes to a spiritual retreat and you have people that know what they're doing to guide you and help you along. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's that smart to do it on your own. You don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know who you're buying this stuff off of.
Yeah, well, you do have to be very, very careful about where you get it. But back to the cleansing thing. So you felt that
fresh.
It helped you just deal with fresh?
It's
so
it's
like the
fresh,
mass and,
clean.
It's like the mass and gill.
what is it with you and
experiences? I like to flush out my vagina, don't you?
But it was just a clean... fresh head. It was just, I felt so good. And that lasted, for a long time. It wasn't just one day I felt better. It was just for a long time and a different outlook, a better perspective on things.
Mm-hmm. Well, people can have bad experiences too.
Yes.
And I have had bad experiences. And they are bad.
Just as good as they can be.
Yeah.
They can be worse. I've seen people freak out. I'm like, oh my God.
But the studies have shown that there is a way to ease that, you know, with set and setting and keeping, you know, going into it with a good mind frame. And
right.
Especially maybe if you have someone there who's been experienced with that and helping people through certain tough moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's not something to be done lightly.
No, I don't think
I wouldn't. It's very catalytic and transformative. And you have to, I don't know. So, yeah, I do get worried about it, too, when I hear pagans talking about drugs. And you can always tell when, I don't know, you can just tell. Like, there's certain people out there who just, that's all they talk about and
that's all they want. That's not so
don't you get, like, a creepy vibe
yeah.
from this? Like, that can actually wind up clouding your perception and
right.
your vision. And can compound problems, and you wind up becoming so much fucked up, which is the exact opposite of what this whole pagan path is about.
Right.
You can lose contact with people, you can disassociate, you can, like, I don't know, split personality. Just all this fucked up shit can happen.
You can't take anything to an extreme. You know, that's my thing with spiritual paths and religion. Some people become fanatical, and that's where you get into trouble. When you're a fanatic about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm a fanatic.
Religious,
about
you're a fanatic about sex. And look what it did to you.
What does that mean?
look what it did to you. Look at you. What's this?
She's making fun of my bling. Aww. I just went outside and walked my dog in this outfit. That was kind of fun. All they like old... they're all from like Yugoslavia around here, all the old guys. They're all just looking at me. I'm like, la la la,
what's that guy wearing?
La la la, I'm a fairy. And I love it. Felt good. All right.
You know what? I don't care what people think of me. Fuck them. You should see how I go out of my apartment sometimes.
I have seen.
Woo! I look like a crazy, disheveled. I don't care. Don't care.
So you would not be afraid to laugh on a bus at our podcast?
No.
You don't even listen to our podcast?
No. But I wouldn't. I'm not ashamed to laugh on a bus.
What about fart?
What would I have done?
Do you fart in public? If you had to really fart, would you just do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I had to. Let me think. What would I do in public? Well, I wouldn't have sex in public.
No.
No. let me see. I don't care. That's just it. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm not going to offend somebody on purpose. I wouldn't do anything that's offensive in public. But I don't care. I go out without makeup, mismatch. Yeah, I know.
No.
Mismatch clothes.
You're such a rebel.
But you know what? I'm just trying to think. I don't care. Some people just, they're always worrying about how they look to other people. I don't care.
I don't care.
Fuck them.
You know,
don't show that picture of me.
There's a listener email that we never wrote about. I feel so bad, but I'm going to get back to it now. We got this email back in May. You remember when we first started talking to Fluffy and Fluffy mentioned that he was raised by a Jew bastard?
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
And then I said something about circumcision. I said something about circumcision. I don't know. And this came up in conversation yesterday, too, at work. Very interesting.
Don't you people do any work?
No wonder
cancer hasn't been freaking cured.
Shut up. I have to say shit like that. We were stuffing envelopes for a special event. Anyway.
Okay.
First of all, I'm not going to tell you how much I love your show so you can read it during your next podcast and talk about how great you are. But he has told me he does love the show. And remember he sent us that really nice email after episode number 6 where he was like, I think you had it right on with like gay people and we have like the special
purpose. Yeah.
This is the same one. This guy, Rebel Prince.
Hey, Rebel.
And he's cracking on us. Oh, Fluffy loves the show. He loves us. I love us too. We're awesome. Let's find another email that talks about how awesome we are. We don't do that, do we?
You just did.
He says, I don't need you to listen. I don't need to listen to you masturbate on my iPod. That's going to be episode number 10. I'm not saying this because I'm mad or anything. Clearly, I keep listening, so there's something going on there. He's such a bitch. I love him, though. Anyway, I am a little upset with a comment from Lucky that was a little off color. I think he told Fluffy to make sure that he got circumcised. Oh, because I said if you wanted to be Jewish, you had to get yourself circumcised.
Yeah, right. That's the Jewish thing. Whatever.
So he says, for someone that seems as connected to the earth and shit, yeah, it's true. I really have no idea what the fuck pagans think. I find it very surprising that you would be such a strong advocate of genital mutilation.
No, that's not what you were saying.
That's not what I was saying. First of all, to
be a Jew, you need to be circumcised.
You gotta snip it.
But when you're like 2 minutes old or something, not as an adult.
You gotta snip it before you sniff it.
That's not
what I was saying. L'chaim. No, seriously. I am very opposed to circumcision, actually. I think that it is genital mutilation. I think if people want to be circumcised so that they can have their cock look a certain way, then they can make that choice when they're old enough. But I don't think that you should snip off half a baby's penis because of something that some Jewish guy in the desert said 5,000 years ago that we should.
But that's their belief, so whatever they believe in.
No, that's not. I'm not talking about Jews are always going to circumcise.
More power
to
them.
But I'm talking about non-Jews, how it like became a health issue and how it's just standard practice in hospitals.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought you were talking about Jews.
No, I'm talking about us now. I'm not Jewish, but I'm circumcised, and that's because that's what they did back all the time without thinking, which is even odd because I was born in Europe, and I don't think they circumcise as much there.
They don't.
But it was weird. I don't know. Yeah. But anyway.
Right. If it's a religious practice, fine.
It's still not fine,
but if it's
actually.
Not,
I still think it's horrible. But
if it's not, then I don't see the purpose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So people in the office yesterday were like, oh, well, didn't you read that article that said that HIV transmission in Africa would be cut in half if they circumcised the males? Because the HIV virus is very frail and can survive only in certain conditions. And that includes around the head of the penis.
Incubated or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And the same thing is true with HPV virus and many sexually transmitted diseases. It is true. But I said, well, no, how about instead of cutting off everyone's dicks, we educate the men over there.
Did you really get rid of AIDS? Just chop it on your...
Right. Or how about we just educate the men to treat the women with respect? Where, ooh, I'm totally
that
running.
Ain't gonna happen.
I have to go. I'll be right back.
You go.
My nostrils are coming. Say something.
I'm just gonna.
Oh. I know I can smell.
Back.
Don't sound so friggin' happy. You whore.
What?
Ew, Keith burned his broccoli.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what's
smells like bad fart, right? He burned his broccoli. Anyway, so why don't you instead educate the men to not to treat women with respect? Don't just rape them whenever you want. Wear
that
a
ain't
condom.
Gonna happen. Come on, let's be realistic. It makes more sense to get circumcised and to treat these than to change these people's mindsets.
I disagree. That's like forcing people to what, like taking out women's ovaries or tying their tubes. To
no.
stop population control, you know.
No, but you're saying to educate the people, which
yeah.
I agree with. Yes, in an ideal world, but that's not going to happen. They ain't going to listen. Fuck that bitch. I'm going to rape her. I'm going to do what I want. Fuck that. That's the attitude. Ain't going to happen. Sorry. Even in this country, what do they call that? Anyway, sensitivity training.
Uh-huh.
That works.
Not for you, apparently.
Obviously. So, and I'm just one example. You can't change people's minds.
So you think that we should go ahead and start snipping off little black penises?
No, that's not what I
third
said.
World countries.
I'm just saying that your idea of educating people, while it's a good one, it's a noble idea, it ain't going to happen. You have to be realistic. I could just see all these guys coming to the meeting, town hall meeting. Okay, guys, we got to treat women with respect and blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
Or just teaching them to wash better, you know, use an antibacterial soap or something. Just look it at me. She's like,
yeah,
you've
I'm just
obviously
there.
Never been to Africa. All right, so fine, whatever. If not in Africa, then...
It's not going to happen.
All right, but certainly in... Don't you think in the Western civilization where we do have education...
I agree.
...better health care?
I don't want you to think that I don't think that education is not the key. It is.
Uh-huh.
But it ain't going to happen in our lifetime. I mean, this is a slow process. This
right.
is something that really... I mean, a lot of people are worrying about where their next meal is going to come from. You think they're worrying about their dicks and what's in it? Yes.
I would.
Because you live here in New York. It's a different
so.
Head.
Yeah.
You know.
I get it. Different head.
Go on.
Good
one. No, you know what I'm saying?
But what about in the West, though, in terms of circumcision in modern European and Western civilization? Like, is there a point to it?
Not that I know of.
Right. And, you know, pagans love pleasure. And I don't. Although I don't know how they can say, as a matter of fact, that men who are not circumcised are more sensitive and sex is more enjoyable for them than men who are circumcised. I don't really know if it can really be that much different. But the men who are uncut will say, "Oh yeah, absolutely, it feels
yeah.
much better."
It's their own personal experience, you know. So I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, I've been with guys from Europe, and they weren't circumcised, and it wasn't a problem. Same
right.
thing with guys from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had experience with both. And
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one looked better than the other. I got to say that. But that's just because of what you're used to.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean, I assume people in Europe think that.
They're all different, though. You know, cocks are all different. You know, some.
Some look like
look better.
One reminded me of a Concorde plane. It was so weird looking.
Oh,
plane.
Long, and then it bent. At
yeah,
the,
it was
that's
like
scary.
It looked like a Concorde plane.
get
like,
out
what
of
the
me.
Fuck is that?
Mm.
But
it crash landed on.
I don't know.
No, but then there are some, you know, uncut cocks that just look really nice.
It
so
just
it's
depends.
All different.
You know, it's different. You know, whatever.
We are not afraid to talk about subjects like this. Nothing is taboo here, ladies and gentlemen. This is Eat My Pagan Ass. You know, we haven't done an Eat My...
Snip My Pagan Dick.
Oh,
I don't know what
don't. But, you know, I'm curious to know, like, do pagans favor circumcision or not? You know? Let us know.
What do you think?
Write into us.
This is just two people's opinions, and that's all they are, is opinions. So.
But my opinion counts.
But
we haven't told anybody to eat my pagan ass lately. Who should we tell? Should we tell the New York State Supreme Court, who rejected gay marriage, to eat my pagan ass?
I tell the whole world to eat my pagan ass.
Just eat it.
I don't care. See, if you don't get it, I don't care.
I told this pagan girl that I met at a bookstore, the Everything Goes bookstore on Staten Island. Really awesome place. It's run by the Ganas Fellowship or something. They're a commune
of
people.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, they're really awesome. They've got like furniture retail stores like Goodwill, but it's like pagan owned and it's all really cool. We'll have to go. I'll take you out there sometime. But okay. we were there last Sunday, and this pagan girl was in the audience, and we were chatting for a while. And I told her about the podcast, and she goes, "Oh, what's the name of it?" I said, "Eat My Pagan Ass." And she just stared at me stupidly, and she was like, "Is that sexual?" And I was like, "No, that's, you know, it's like, eat my ass.
Like fuck you.
Fuck off." Like, and she was like, "Oh." And she still stared at me stupidly.
Yeah. Oh, well.
See, not all pagans are smart. But I'd rather have a dumb pagan than...
No pagan.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Look at me. I'm being nasty today. Because I have my crown on.
Oh, my God.
Like...
He's got on his tiara. That's nice, though. I like it.
Prince, thank you. This was made for me for a production of Cajolin and the Fairy Queen, which was written by Silky Oishi. And it is based off the Irish legend of Cajolin, who was an Irish hero. Who is
Cajones? What's his name?
Cajones.
Cajones.
Cajones of Moahevnia.
There's this girl that I work with, and her last name is Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Her first name begins with a C.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, oh my God, her name is Cajones. J-O-N-E-S. Cajones. Cajones.
So, I mean, do you want to just tell us? Are you more of a testicle person than a cock person? You like big balls? Big balls.
I think I'd rather have a big dick.
Big dick.
Big balls are all right.
Ugh.
Big fat dick.
Do you get laid when you go to these pagan gatherings? Tell
Sometimes.
Us. Wait, first tell us where
Not
you went.
All the time.
You just got back from a pagan festival. We didn't even talk
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to...
Wait, we have to start a new thing here. All right, so tell us about this pagan festival you just went to.
It's called Spirit Fire, and it's a yearly festival. It's a drum and dance festival held in upstate New York, and it's kind of small compared to the other ones that I've been to, especially mm-hmm. like Brushwood and Starwood and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, it's really nice. It's small. It's like maybe 150 people total.
Hmm.
And it's just wonderful, and it's you feel very safe there. It's very spiritual. It's just I just love it. And this year the weather was perfect.
Oh yeah,
it was just perfect, nice. And we were drumming and dancing.
That makes a big difference. There's nothing like going to I went to a Starwood festival once where we just got rained out the entire week. But then it kind of got used to it. We just walked around in big mucklucks.
After
mud.
A while, you don't even care.
We became mud people.
Yeah, you don't even care. I find that's true amongst pagans. I went to a wedding last year. Pagan wedding. Handfast, whatever. And it rained, but they had tents up. So we weren't exactly rained on. I didn't hear one person complain about the weather.
Hmm.
The people that did complain were the muggles, you know, the people that the bride and the groom invited from work or whatever.
Yeah.
They complained about the weather,
uh-huh.
but I didn't hear one pagan complain. I mean, we're so used to it. We like the outdoors, rain or shine, it's
right.
all good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great wedding. I had so much fun, and we were singing and dancing, and then the ceremony was held under a tent. And she wore this beautiful dress, and he was dressed up. He looked so handsome. And she couldn't wear her shoes because it was all muddy, so she wore mountain boots. So then she sat down on this chair, and he got on his one knee, and he took off her mountain boots, and he put on her slippers.
Aww.
And then they proceeded with the wedding. It was really nice, but,
Aww.
You know, pagan stuff is cool. I just love the people. The people are like... I don't know, they're different. They accept things more, and they're more fun-loving, and they're just free spirits. And I can't say 100%. That would be naive of me to say, but, you know, it's just a lot of fun. That wedding was awesome. That was such a good wedding.
Yeah. Talk more about Spirit Fire, though. What happened up there?
So,
what are the main things that happen up there?
They have this, the main thing, of course, is the fire. Every night at 11:30, there's a procession. It's a beautiful procession, and they have the whole mandala of the fire circle all done up beautifully with lots of glyphs, and they have different altars, northeast, south, and west. They have the ancestors' altar. They have a spot where you can just kind of chill and hang out. They have the drummer circle. And then they have the dancers. And the music is so good. It's so sweet. And the dancers, they're up until like dawn, just drumming and dancing. It's a lot of fun. And then the next morning, they have brunch around 10 o'clock. Yeah, 10 o'clock. People can just sleep. And then there are just different activities during the day. Everybody kind of hangs out and bonds. And they have different workshops. A lot of people sleep during the day and hang out at night because you can't do both. Mm. I tried to do both. Didn't work. Right. The second night I crashed.
You can tell. You can the look around and you can just say to sleep. They walk around like zombies and you're like, you need to sleep.
The second night I passed out. I woke up. I had my clothes on. I was like, oh no, I missed the circle. But it's really nice. And every year they have a different intent. This year, my intent was on gratitude because I felt like I don't need, I mean, everybody needs more or something, but I felt I should devote this week to gratitude. And it was a lot of fun. Hmm. People are nice, and every year you meet another person, and after a while, it's like everybody, you know everybody. Yeah. It's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Well, there are more. They have Rites of Spring. Oh, no. They have Aho. They have another one in Hawaii. I would love to go to that one, but that's not going to happen. Too much junk to drag around.
Hmm. Well, there's a Stones Raising Festival in Pennsylvania the first weekend of August, and I just found out about it yesterday. I heard about it before, but I just found out from the Gay Pagans list that some people want to go. And so I was like, yeah, I totally want to go. And then I remember that I agreed to go to a wedding already up in Maine. Mm. And that's going to be fun.
It's different.
But yeah. Suddenly I feel really bad that I'm going to miss this pagan thing because I don't have any plans to go to anything this summer. And it's like, ah, what a bummer.
There are more of them. And they have a lot of them upstate. They have a lot of them in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there knows of any, let us know.
Kate's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
She should go. Go to Stones Rising and report on it for us. Let us know how it went.
Is that a yearly thing or just...
Yeah, they're building a ring of stones, like Stonehenge, I think. Mm. But every year they raise one stone because these are like super heavy and they get it out there and then the whole community helps raise the stones up. And
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
So why don't you make plans to go next year?
Yeah.
You can't go this year. You go next year.
Next year, I just want to go all over the fucking place.
Yeah, but you have a job. Hello?
Well, I know, but like just yesterday, my boss was like, so did you make any plans for vacation this year? And I was like, not really. I mean, in December, we're going to go to France, and we're going to go visit some friends in France. They're going to be in this very southern part of France, just by the Pyrenees Mountains, mm-hmm. Where the Cathars, do you remember the Cathars? They were like a Christian sect, but they were very cool. Like they were almost pagan.
Cool Christians.
Yeah, they were very progressive, and I think they had like that the priests weren't celibate. They were allowed to marry, if I'm remembering my history right. Mm-hmm. And of course the church suppressed them and murdered them all, like went into these villages and monasteries and just completely killed all the Cathars and wiped them out. They were considered heretics by the Pope. That's because things weren't going so well with the Crusades, and there's always a political agenda behind all of that shit, so Anyway, so now there are these beautiful monasteries built all over, and abbeys built all over the rolling hills of southern France, and we're going to go. They're all
that
medieval.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we're going to do in December, but, you know, there's no drum bonfire and all that fun shit. Like, where everyone's at Starwood right now. Everyone's like, leaving for Starwood. See you later.
I don't really like Starwood that much. It's too crazy. I don't know. I like Spirit Fire. I really enjoy that. And I like the fact that I know most of the people, if not by name, we know each other. Like, oh, hey.
You know, recognize their penis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say, I don't know that dick. Yeah.
I remember what kinda, that tastes like.
And then it's on. It's beautiful because it's on top of a mountain. And it's actually a Sufi retreat. Oh. The Sufis live up there. And they cook for us. Mm. And you could either stay in... a cabin or tent. Hmm. I like tenting. And it's just beautiful.
Do the Sufis spin while they cook?
No.
Do their dance?
No.
No?
No.
Ah, la 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 la.
Don't do none of that.
La 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 la.
Some of them hang out at the fire. I recognize them. And they're dancing around. It's fun. It's really, it's a beautiful location. And then the sunsets are really nice. And then they used to have this place called a sanctuary. But it burnt down.
Carmen, what did you do?
It wasn't my fault.
Yeah, right.
But the ruins are still there. So we go there, we hang out, and then they have a labyrinth. It's just really beautiful there. You know, it's peaceful, it's nice, and I like the people. It's just, and I love to drum. Mm. You know, you can leave your drum out, you come back, and it's where you left it.
Hey, festivals. I think we're gonna pull a rune and then we're gonna wrap up.
Okay.
We always do cards, but this time I want to do a rune because I haven't. I feel so bad. I haven't consulted my runes in a very long time. So
they're gonna get stagnant.
I know, and I gotta, you know, thank Odin and the Norns for the runes and Heimdall too, because he. There's legend that Heimdall taught humankind how to use the runes.
Isn't he a car dealership?
Heimdall?
Oh, I thought you said Honda.
Honda? Very funny.
Toyota.
Very funny. All right, here, you pick the rune, Carmen.
Very funny.
This is the rune of the week.
All right, this is for me. I have a question.
Right. No, it was forever. It was for you.
Just for you? My head.
All right. Nalthes. Nalthes is the rune of restrictions. And of limitations, and of tight situations. And its name means need. So if you find yourself in need of something, you're in this situation of Nalthes. So some of the things to think about are, what are the things in your life right now that are in excess, that are excessive, and how can you find ways to maybe restrict them and put some limitations on yourself or your behavior. Or it could also ask you to examine, if you find yourself in a position of great need, it could tell you that to examine where that's coming from. You know, why are you in this?
Hmm.
Or sometimes people have needs and they ignore them. Hmm. So this could be a rune to those people saying, you know, pay attention. Is your body telling you something? Is there something wrong in a relationship? Is there something that you need to be doing? Is someone around you in need? Or are you in need of certain things?
Like pay attention.
Pay attention. But yeah, if you need a hug, find someone to give it to you. Oh, I'm hugging Carmen now. She's hugging me. If you need to diet, this is a great rune.
What are you trying to say, bitch?
I'm just saying.
I knew he was going to say that. No, I didn't.
This is actually one of the runes that's included in a rune charm for dieting.
Really?
So yeah, the first rune is Uruz, which is the body and the health. And then there's Nalthes, which is to limit food intake and excessive calories. And the other is Raido, to make the right choices and to also stay active.
You know what you should do?
What?
Like, stitch your mouth in the rune.
Oh, how scary. putting all these stitches all along my mouth. Oh, that's horrible. I don't need to lose weight. My boyfriend was just yelling at me this morning saying that I'm too skinny. He's telling me I gotta eat more
you're
food.
You're looking too good, and he's like threatened. Yeah, right.
Whatever. One of the symbols associated with this rune, first of all, this is one of the Norns. The three Norns are wait, that's not right. Not Hagalaz, Nalfi's, Issa, is it? I guess it is, yeah.
I don't know.
Hagalaz is the past, ruled by Urd. Nalfi's is the future, ruled by Skuld. And Issa is the present, ruled by Barthandi. So this is the rune of the future, and the future is dictated in many ways by our actions of today and things from the past. Mm-hmm. Karmic debt is one of the ways to think about it. This is what should be as a result of what is happening now. The future is mutable, but it's what should happen, you know, basically, or sometimes what needs to happen. You know, every action has an opposite and equal reaction. That's sometimes. That's not always true, apparently, but in cases where that is true, that's a function of Nalthi's fulfilling the debt. So, need. This often comes up with people who are having financial issues, too, if they're in debt a lot. This is a debt rune. Hmm. What are the debts that you owe and that you aren't paying? Sometimes you can find your future choices limited and restricted because you haven't fulfilled karmic debts that you've already set up in place.
People see debt as monetary. It's not always.
No.
It's favors owed or things like that. But it's not, debt does not equal money.
Not all the time. So do you, you know, did someone do something nice for you and they just asked you for a favor and suddenly you're kind of giving them the cold shoulder and not stepping up to the plate and fulfilling your end of the bargain? And maybe now as a result, you're in a tough situation. You're in a bind, so to speak. This is the bind rune. You're in a bind. So that's now these people. We have been getting lots of shitty, you know, shitty cards,
Let's blame it on Mercury. Yeah, Mercury! Let's blame it on Mercury.
Well, okay, but this could also, since we are on Mercury retrograde, there's no reason why we couldn't graft that onto this as well.
This is a binding rune, which means to me that if things are stuck right now, don't worry about it, because I'm an astrology person as opposed to runes. Listen to me, runes. So that would mean to me, once Mercury retrograde is over, things will start up again.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, then this is a good time to if you are in need to evaluate, or if you are under limitations, why are you there?
Why do you need this thing? Do you need this thing?
Mm-hmm. Or it could also be a warning, since this is also a future rune, that you are, perhaps you're doing something right now that's, you know, you're making a choice. Yeah, and just think about the future implications of something. Don't agree to something if it's going to cause you to be restricted at some point down the road in a way that you don't really want or didn't expect.
Right.
So just
Chill.
Don't agree to marry anybody just yet.
Oh, yeah, right.
Wait until August 12th, and a few days afterwards, actually, before you reconsider that question.
A few days afterwards.
Need. But this also need rune, when you are in need, people who are pressed to need suddenly have to just do what they need to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Shit or get off the pot.
Shit or get off the pot. Do you need to shit? No, then get off the fucking pot. So that's their rune for the week, people.
That's the shit or get off the pot rune.
It's a shit or get off the pot rune. Or it's the you need to shit rune, but you're not. You're constipated.
And then take a laxative. Do fucking something here.
All right. Do you want to do a card? You can do a card if you want.
No, that's cool.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right, hookers.
So we'll see you guys.
Where's my tambourine? I can't say goodbye without playing my tambourine again.
Hey, Mr.
Tambourine. I don't know. I just bought this tambourine. I don't know how to play tambourine as well as I can.
Oh, look. Listen. That sounds cool, huh?
Oh, cool. Alright, here, let this shake
you up a bit, Kaylee.
We're healing you. Alright.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Have a fan-fucking-tastic week.
And hopefully we'll see you sooner than not.
Than not.
My pagan ass, hookers.
Eat my pagan ass, episode number 8.
Bye!
Bye, hookers!